In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ, I don't think I have ever purchased anything without first looking at the cost. Maybe it's because I'm cheap by nature, maybe it's because I'm inquisitive by nature, maybe it's just who I am, but I don't think I have ever purchased anything without first looking at the cost. And I'd imagine for most of you, it would be the same. I doubt any of you have ever purchased anything without first looking at the cost, but every time you're about to purchase something, you weigh your options. You wonder whether or not that's a good cost, whether or not you can get it at a better cost, whether or not that particular product is worth that particular cost. And in that way, you're no different than the king or the builder that Jesus referenced in our gospel lesson from St. Luke. For in our gospel lesson from St. Luke, Jesus tells a large crowd that there is a cost to follow him, a cost to be his disciple. And just like the builder who's thinking about how much it costs to build a building, or just like the king who thinks about how much it'll cost to go to war, so also we're to evaluate the cost of following Jesus. And at first, this cost seems quite steep. It seems a little excessive, for Jesus is using words like hating your family, or carrying a cross, or saying farewell to all your possessions. That seems a little steep. It seems a little excessive. It's like when you're planning on going to the Chiefs game, and after you evaluate the cost of the ticket and the cost of parking and the cost of concessions, you begin to wonder, is it even worth it? And so it seems to be, according to our gospel lesson to St. Luke, according to this gospel lesson, it seems to us that we should ask the question, is it worth it to even follow Jesus? But here's the problem with thinking that way. When you're thinking that way about the cost of following Jesus, you're only thinking of yourself. You're taking Christ right out of the equation and only thinking of yourself. And that's so easy to do. For it's what we do whenever we purchase products here on earth, and rightly so. We think of ourselves and we think, is this particular product worth this particular cost? But that's not what we do when it comes to the cost of following Jesus. When it comes to the cost of following Jesus, we don't have to evaluate whether or not it's worth it for us to pay the cost. For you see, you and I, we couldn't pay this cost on our own even if we tried. Instead, as strange as it might be, when we think about paying the cost to follow Jesus, as strange as it might be, just as we sang in the previous hymn, we simply cling to Christ and marvel at the cost that he was willing to pay for us. That's how we pay the cost for following Jesus. It's by marveling at the cost he was willing to pay for us. And to explain what I mean, let's look at our text from the book of Philemon. For you see, the book of Philemon is a short book. It's only 25 verses long. It's easy to just skip over as you're paging through your Bible. And on top of that, this book of Philemon, at first, it doesn't even seem relevant to us. For on a surface level, in the book of Philemon, it seems like all Paul is doing is asking a Christian man named Philemon to take back his runaway slave named Onesimus. That doesn't seem all that relevant to us today. For not only did all these people live some 2,000 years ago, but on top of that, we don't have slaves today. We don't have to deal with runaway slaves or what retribution they should pay to get back into our good graces. We don't have to worry about any of those things. And so is this book of Philemon even relevant to us? Is it relevant to us as we cling to Christ and marvel at the cost he was willing to pay? Well, it is relevant if we have the key to unlocking Philemon. And the key to unlocking the book of Philemon is the same key that unlocks all of Scripture. It's, of course, our Savior Jesus Christ. For you see, this book of Philemon is not just about a runaway slave named Onesimus. It's not just about anti-slavery or paying retribution or showing love to those who wronged you. But as is the case with all of Scripture, the book of Philemon is about Christ. It's about his work. It's about his salvation. It's about him paying the cost for you. And how do we get that out of the book of Philemon? Well, think about it. Onesimus was a runaway slave. He ran away from Philemon. And in the days or weeks leading up to the time that he ran away, I'm sure that Onesimus wasn't a good worker. I'm sure he wasn't faithfully fulfilling his vocation as slave. In fact, Paul even references it when he tells Philemon, there was a time that he was useless to you. For in today's world, if somebody is going to quit their job, usually they're not giving the best effort in the days or weeks leading up to the time that they're quitting. And so it seems to be with Onesimus before he ran away. It seems like he was a lazy and useless slave. And doesn't that describe you and me by nature? For you see, we haven't been faithful to our Master, our Father in heaven. He created us. He formed us. We belong to him. And yet, because of the sin that is in each and every one of us by nature, we became useless to him. You see, we didn't serve him. We didn't show love to him. We didn't serve or show love to our neighbor. But because of the sin that was in us, all we did was have a selfish attitude, a me-first attitude, who cared only about ourselves. And so we ran away from our Heavenly Father. We ran away from him, just like Onesimus ran away from his master, Philemon. But when Onesimus ran away from his master, Philemon, which would have been a risky thing for him to do, did you catch what happened with Onesimus? Onesimus got in contact with the Apostle Paul. Whether he sought out the Apostle Paul, whom he would have known since his master Philemon was a Christian man living in the Greek city of Colossae, or whether God just ordained that they would cross paths somehow, some way, Onesimus came into contact with the Apostle Paul. And Paul preached the word to Onesimus. And Onesimus became a believer in Jesus. He became a child of God, someone who is forgiven, someone who is an heir of eternal life in heaven. And that's why Paul writes what he does in this short little book. It's why he encourages Philemon to take back this runaway slave, Onesimus. It's why he encourages Philemon to treat Onesimus not as a slave, but as a brother. It's why Paul even assures Philemon that though Onesimus was once useless to you, he now would be very useful both to you and to me. It's because Onesimus was a child of God, someone who was forgiven, someone who is an heir of eternal life in heaven, and to prove how much Onesimus had changed, Paul actually makes an incredible offer. An incredible offer to Philemon. Paul offers to pay the cost for Onesimus so that Onesimus could be back in the good graces of his master. For Paul writes, if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, have written this with my own hand. I will repay it. You see, maybe Onesimus stole something from Philemon when he fled. Runaway slaves often did that. Or maybe it was just all the lost wages that Philemon incurred when Onesimus ran away and wasn't working for him. But whatever the case was, Onesimus owed his master Philemon. He owed his master Philemon a cost. And as a runaway slave, it probably would have been very difficult for Onesimus to pay that cost. And so Paul offered to pay it. Paul offered to pay the full cost of Onesimus so that Onesimus could be a faithful servant to his master once again. And do you see how all of that is a beautiful picture of Christ? For my dear Christian friends, in this book, you and I, we are Onesimus. Because of our sins, we were useless to our Father in heaven. We had a selfish, me-first attitude. We cared only about ourselves. We weren't serving and loving God. We weren't serving and loving our neighbor. And so we ran away from our God by nature in the same way that Onesimus ran away from Philemon. Then something happened to you. You became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it was when your parents brought you to the font, or maybe the Lord led you to a spouse or a friend or a relative or a pastor who preached the Word of God to you. But through the Word of God, you became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you believed in the Lord as Onesimus did, well, then you realize that your Lord Jesus has already done something remarkable for you, something that is much more incredible than what Paul offered to do for Onesimus. For you see, while Paul offered to pay the full cost for Onesimus, your Savior Jesus, he has already paid the full cost for you. The cost that you incurred because of the sins, and the cost that the Lord Jesus had to pay for you, was much steeper than the cost that Paul was offering to pay to Philemon. For the cost that the Lord Jesus had to pay for you, it was his very life. That's the only payment that was acceptable to your Father in heaven because of your sins. It was Jesus' very life. It was his holy and precious blood. For that's the only way that he could buy you back and bring you back into the good graces of your Father in heaven. For it was only by his blood that your sins are all forgiven. And since Jesus was willing to pay that cost for you, since he was willing to give up his life for you and shed his blood for you to pay the debt that you owe to your Father because of your sins, because Jesus was able to pay that huge cost for you, you right now, you're back in the good graces of your Heavenly Father. And on top of that, you right now, you're very useful to your Heavenly Father. For no longer are you a selfish sinner who cares only about himself, but you are useful because you are now someone who is filled with the love of Christ. And filled with the love of Christ, you serve God and you show love to God. Filled with the love of Christ, you serve your neighbor and you show love to your neighbor. And because that is who you now are, when you cling to Christ and marvel at the cost that he has paid for you, because you are now someone who is filled with the love of Christ. Do you see why the cost that we pay for following Jesus, the cost we were talking about at the beginning of this sermon, the cost that is in St. Luke's gospel, do you see why that cost for you is really no cost at all? You see, if you boil down everything that Jesus says about the cost of following him in St. Luke's gospel, it really comes down to one word: priorities. You see, your Lord wants you to be blessed by your family, and he wants you to be blessed here on earth. But he uses words like hating a family member, or carrying your cross, or saying farewell to all your possessions, because it's all in relation to your God. It's all about priorities. For your Savior Jesus will put up with a lot inside of your heart, but being in second place isn't one of them. And the only way that your Lord can have that top spot in your priorities, even more than your family, even more than your possessions, the only way that that can happen, it's only if you cling to Christ and marvel at the cost that he was willing to pay for you. That's ultimately what this little tiny book of Philemon is all about. It's all about how your Savior was willing to pay whatever the cost was for you so that he could bring you back into the good graces. And being back in the good graces of your Father in heaven, you are now filled with love. And so you can be confident that you are useful to him as you abound in good works here on earth, and you will be useful to him for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we confess the one true faith, using the words of the Apostles' Creed.